You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess they can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. Wanting my cake and eat it too. Wanting it both ways, fame may be a balloon.
Very good Wednesday morning to you. And happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, how about that? If you forgot, you still got time. It's early. Just say, I was just playing it off. I have a big surprise for you. Then you better get one. You know, some days you just like, make it stop already, really? I mean, the news on a daily basis? Not very good. So, anyway, just a thought. And there's no sign that it's going to change anytime soon, so. I don't know. Somebody sent me a pretty pessimistic email yesterday, you know. The truth doesn't matter. What gets blasted on social media is most important, and that's what counts more than anything else. And just you're listening, you're going, are you kidding me? Are you absolutely positively kidding me? And the answer to that is no. They're not kidding you. They're not kidding you. So. Yeah, and I'll tell you, just kind of interesting, I was reading a story about, as if companies like Facebook and Google were not powerful enough. I mean, consider this, George Orwell, if he showed up today and he wrote 1984, that most of us read when we were kids, right? And futuristic about the government and tracking everything you did and all the rest of that stuff. If George Orwell knew or saw that Google tracks every step that you make, he would have rewrote his book. He'd say it's not the government that's ultimately going to put the kibosh on you. It's going to be for-profit companies who track every step you make, every choice you make, every click on the internet you make. Yeah, I'll be watching you, as Sting would say. So, it's amazing. So I was reading an article about TV advertising dollars have dropped again across the board as online companies make their foray into the advertising business. And the conclusion is that revenue is not coming back. That television will exist in a diminished capacity in the future. And so who is going to get a piece of that? Yeah, Google, Facebook. Is that a good thing? At some point, how big is too big? What, you control two companies, control what percentage of our communications? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Historically, we've seen it as a bad thing. And now we'll concentrate all the media in those companies as well? I don't know. At some point, and then this whole access to our election via, you know, bots and fake news on these social media sites. I mean, at some point, don't they have to be held accountable by the government that allows them to operate in the United States for the content that they distribute? And if they're the willing co-conspirator or the benign, probably the benign co-conspirator of the Russians, then what do we say to that? Oh, it's okay. Geez, wish we could do better. So, yeah, so made me think about that. Google, Facebook, Amazon, going into healthcare. Companies that have begun to maybe become too big. Teddy Roosevelt took on Standard Oil in the whole era of trust busting because of their dominance over too much of a market. I want to say something about John Kelly again. There's a disconnect, something's wrong. And at some point, he or the White House counsel is going to have to come forward and explain it. And one of the things, riddle me this, Batman. In this whole timeline, evidently the FBI interviews for his clearance his ex-wives. And they put their findings in an investigation, like they do in every intelligence background investigation. Okay, that goes to somebody. And so the FBI sent that file over to the White House. But it doesn't, not into the White House, right? So there's an office at the White House that of investigations and clearances, whatever the hell they call it. And it sits next to the, it's done not by political appointees, but by career government people. So as of the time that he resigned last week, his case still had not been formally adjudicated by that office and presented to the White House staff. He also met with four reporters off the record in an attempt to explain. All right. Now, if you're in a position of authority and somebody's accused of something and they push back on it, right, and it had to be it had to be more than I didn't do it, okay, to cause an investigation to be tied up for that long, okay? So, I don't know. I'm just, if you look at timelines, and you assume that the people there are not absolutely incompetent. So what would hold up the final conclusion of that investigation? I don't know, but something of substance did. Why, if he was absolutely guilty and there was nothing to explain, why would he meet with four reporters off the record? What is that about? Okay. Now, so take that and you hit pause. The next thing is, the president's press secretary being asked, does he believe the women? And so in a situation like this where she says she's been beaten and he says, I didn't do it, right? Here's how she got the black eye and these are the things that she's done. And he shows you credible evidence that there's more to the story. What do you do? How do you answer that question? Do you believe her? And if you say no, you know, how do you, you have to get your X-Acto knife. If you say no, what are you? You're endorsing domestic violence? Yes? Well, that's what you'll be accused of. So if there is legitimate if there is legitimate reason to push back, credible evidence that it didn't happen that way, is he entitled to due process? Or is it simply the allegation and a picture that ends his career and changes his life forever? So I what I'm trying to do is paint a picture of if you look at different timelines, and then the reality of standing in front of reporters who've already convicted somebody, what if it's not that way? And I would just say, you know, do you remember when President Trump said that he was spied on? And we went, oh, he's crazy as a loon. Yeah. Normally when he tweets something like that, more often than I think we would all care to admit, when people yell he's crazy, he's not. There's a lot of truth to all of that. And I would even say, even in a tweet at Charlottesville that he got absolutely blasted for, he was right. Two groups went to Charlottesville to fight. And so when he says there's blame on both sides, you know, what he's not talking about is the peaceful protesters, right, and the people that showed up to support the retention of monuments erected after the Civil War. It's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about those two groups. He's talking about on one side, Antifa, and on the other side, these whack job white supremacists, right? Those guys who had been sparring back and forth and who came there armed with shields and clubs and wearing helmets. Now, he was right about that. There was blame on both sides. But that's not how that plays in Peoria. That's not how it plays in the newsroom. And so in watching this and in knowing John Kelly as I do, his silence tells you that there's something wrong that you don't know about. That it might be about her. It might be sensitive information that, look, if I tell you this, she goes under the bus. But this is his defense. This is why it wasn't as simple as you want to make it out to be. Oh, I understand now. So, again, it's painful to watch, though. And at some point, Kelly or McGahn have to go out and explain the disconnect. Who knew what when? Who knew what when? So, anyway, I wanted to say that. We're going to hear the second half of General Zinni's comments. And so we'll do that. And we will also go ahead and check the news this morning. And that's kind of what we're doing here. So, good morning to you. If you missed the General Zinni thing yesterday, you should listen to it. It's hilarious. But what you see him doing, and I had a couple conversations with people that emailed or called yesterday, this is what commanders ought to do. Commander ought to stand in front of all of his Marines on a regular basis, or most importantly, the leadership, the guys who are going to make decisions for him, right? Officers, staff, NCOs, NCOs. And he ought to teach. You got to teach. This is how I see the battlefield. This is how I look at decision making. This is how I look at sustainment. This is how I look at all these versions, so that they know. And when you hit this dynamic situation, what holds you together? Those little phrases, right? Those little phrases. And they've heard you, right? Yesterday he was talking about don't fall in love with your plan. Little Zinniisms that they have written down. So we'll hear the second part of that today. And like I said, he's, you know, I call him the burning bush. And if you listen to the whole delivery of it, he knows his audience. He's been raised with them. But he's preaching. And what he's preaching is this new philosophy, war fighting philosophy, the Marine Corps is attempting to embrace and trying to shake it out and find out, does it work for us? Is it a fit for us? Are there some things we can take and not buy the whole meal? So all that. So we'll do that today. Anyway, so with all that said, once again, happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully you didn't screw that up yet. United States Marine Corps Band makes Valentine's Day official. Good morning. Dedicated to the men's and women's hockey teams who will be in action tonight. In particular, the women's hockey team that takes on arch rival Canada. That's beat them 5 out of 6 times. The American women's team, I want to say, has won 7 of the last 8 world championships. That's a tournament that gets played every non-Olympic year. However, they've lost in the Olympics the last 2 times. So, they're in action tonight. And Olympics, pretty cool.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
You know, I heard somebody say the other day, do you think a Democrat could say that today? Stand up and say that today? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I laughed. I said, not in a million years.
Hello, Americans. I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear, as hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go farther. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I love that "We Got to Win" shit, by the way. All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. Take a break. Check the news headlines this morning. Email. Never thought about it like that, Mac. But you're right. Whoever said that you saw is absolutely right. There's not a Democrat that would utter that in the United States right now. And if you're a fan of politics, and I know many are not, but I am, it will certainly be interesting to watch how the Joe Biden, Bill Clinton wing of the Democrat Party faces down the Bernie Sanders wing. Because they will not win and do well in the elections if all they talk about is immigration. And universal single-payer government health care. But I don't see any sign of them heading more to the right and becoming more mainstream. I just don't see it. Interesting. My own opinion is that the statements of the Democrats are going to do very, very well at the polls are overstated. If the underlying economy continues to improve, and I'm not talking about the stock market, because the stock market is coming out of a malaise that has affected us since September 11th. Interest rates near nothing. Money so easy because the economy so fragile. Ridiculous. Now as the economy returns to historical levels, there'll be discussion of inflation. Holy smokes. What a joy. Too much demand. Who would have thought this would ever happen? But the bottom line for the workers in this country is they're going to be doing better. Corporations are going to do better. And with that, the fate of the economy will do better. When the economy's good, normally the party in power does okay. Now, they may lose some seats. Who knows what will happen in the Senate where they're 50-50 right now. But I think that the claims that the Democrats are going to have this sweeping win are overstated. All you have to do is follow the Quinnipiac or Pew polls about his popularity, and he is approximately at the same level that Barack Obama was at the same position in his presidency. And he stuck around for 8 years. You know what? True words. Currently cloudy in 39 in Quantico. Cloudy in 49 Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, getting hot where the Gunner is. Gunner not happy these days. It's cloudy in 50. Gunner's not happy because the truth matters. The truth matters, and he's bumping into the world where the truth doesn't matter, and he's not dealing with it very well. He might just need to go to the range and spend a few days, camp out there and shoot like 10,000 rounds of ammunition to make himself feel better. In 29 Palms, it is mostly cloudy in 47. Kent Pendleton, cloudy in 49. Okinawa, cloudy dark in 62. Okinawa warming up. Mars are warming up as well. Cloudy, dark, and 70 degrees. Getting warmer there. That means the finding season is getting close. The currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is 56 degrees under cloudy skies. The wind chill sits at 56. Yeah, for all you people that live up north. Looking for a high of 66 today. You're supposed to get rain. Nothing. Not a drop. Tomorrow, 70, and on Friday, 73 degrees. So that is a look at the news. That is not a look at the news. I haven't even looked at the news. We're going to take a break, though. That's what's called the opening of the show. Some initial thoughts, what we're going to do today, the weather, all of that. All right, so don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday edition, hump day. Bo Higgins is going to join us tomorrow. Yeah, former Intel guy, Iraq, Afghanistan guy, got out as a colonel, and he's working for Amazon. So we'll talk to him about his career, about his transition, and life at Amazon. See if you have a future there. So don't touch that dial. Nielsen's going to join me right after the explosion.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. Military by Owner.
Or even a bar brawl. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports the Senate's top two leaders are at odds over bourbon. Jokingly.
Community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career.
It's the swimsuit cover model for 2018. Danielle Harrington will grace the cover, along with the words, owns it. Harrington is the third black woman to appear on cover.
The great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Wednesday, hump day. All right, we'll check the news. Start with Marine Corps Times. A couple of interesting stories in there. top story about the budget. With this budget deal, now we can actually look at a budget as opposed to sequestrations. So, big deal. The Marine Corps is only seeking moderate force growth in fiscal year 2019, but the small investment is designed to provide a big punch with money for new technology and highly skilled Marines. The Marine Corps is projected to grow by 1,100 Marines, putting it back on track to reach a total end strength of 186,100 active duty personnel by the end of FY 2019. Marines growth will prioritize the advanced skills needed in a multi-domain battle space versus the traditional younger 18-year-old infantry Marines. Kind of interesting stuff as Marine Corps complexion changes. We talked a little bit about that earlier in the week. Quote, our manning requires leaders with grade experience, technical and tactical qualifications associated with their billet, which is essential to the Marine Corps as a fight tonight force. That's according to the Department of the Navy budget request. The total $194.7 billion budget request by the Department of the Navy represents a 7% increase or $12.6 billion increase for the Marine Corps. Those figures include funding for personnel, procurement, overseas operations for both the Navy and the Marine Corps. Pay raise of 2.6% across the force. And then the new budget request calls for the purchase of 120 new aircraft. The Corps will continue its multi-year effort to retire older legacy aircraft, replace them, blah, 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 blah. So if the Marine Corps, and you, and the Commandant said it here on All Marine Radio, if I had additional money, I'd retire those older aircraft faster. We need, our aviation wing needs to be combat effective, and it's not. Also, expediting the purchase of the Zulu Cobra version, which is called the Viper, and which will get other versions of the Cobra that are older. Again, just got flown to death and destroyed, essentially, through Iraq and Afghanistan repeatedly. The FY19 budget seeks to buy 25 Vipers, up from 23 this year, part of the total procurement plan of 342 aircraft. Marine Corps is also buying the CH-53 Kilo, or King Stallion, the newer heavy-lift helicopter that is replacing the aging fleets of CH-53 Echoes, which came into the Marine Corps when I joined in 1984. Yeah. The 2019 budget calls for 8 CH-53 Kilos, up from 4 last year. Ground vehicles also made significant gains in the Marine Corps. They plan to buy an additional 1,642 Joint Light Tactical Vehicles, a new family of armored vehicles designed to replace the Humvee. The figure represents a big increase from 1,115 last year, so almost an additional 50% purchase. The Corps is investing in technology. And again, if you've listened to General Neller talk about readiness, we got to fix our gear. We got to right size the force, get the right people. And so this is the gear piece of it. You know, one of the things that interests me is the whole cyber thing. So that's being written about. I still don't understand what they're going to do. I understand how they, you know, how the nation does it, right? And the work that those guys, I don't understand how Marines, Cyber Marines, what they do. So, anyway, big changes coming to the Marine Corps in a separate story to Marine Corps rifle squads and scout sniper platoons. So for many years, Marine Corps had 13-man rifle squads. Okay. And what that allowed you to do is essentially have 2, 4, or 5-man fire teams, because you don't normally have 13 Marines there all the time. They're just doing other things. So-and-so's and being an A driver, you know, so-and-so's gone, you know, so-and-so's injured. So 13 allows you to have two elements, okay? Commandant's going to, at some point here, choose between 11, 12, 13, and 14. Now, the additional Marine is going to be the technology guy. Now that squads have drones and things like that, so that Marine will fly the drone. So that's that person's job. Also, a pretty big beef up of Marine Scout sniper platoons that support infantry battalions. So making those a little bit deadlier, not a little bit deadlier, substantially deadlier. So kind of modifications, but the Marine Corps has gone between 11-man squads and 13-man squads before. The big addition, there's two things being talked about, an assistant squad leader because of all the technology getting pushed down there, and also somebody, technology and weaponry, robots and things like that, and then also somebody that flies drones and is tech savvy. So those two people would be added to the squad. All part of Marine Corps getting ready to fight a near peer and a project they called Marine Corps 2025. The other addition to at the platoon is an electronic warfare operator. So I don't, again, I'm, for the life of me, you try to, you know, put this in motion and see how it works. I'm not exactly sure about the electronic warfare guy. What is that person doing? Is he a communicator? She a communicator? What do they do? And then they walk through the in the article. It walks through the other. It walks through the other elements of this, which is the M27 as the rifle for the infantry. It walks through the beefing up of scout sniper platoons and the recognition of what they add, their skill set, what they add, and they're a big deal. And then one other piece of this, which is probably long overdue, enhanced training for non-commissioned officers has been one of the most important lessons learned from Sea Dragon 25 and the experimental unit known as 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. Despite all the gear and organizational changes stemming from Sea Dragon 2025, the Corps found that enhanced military occupational specialty, or MOS training, was one of the most important lessons learned after the year-long effort. The most valuable asset we have is our non-commissioned officers and company grade leaders. And so they would get additional training. Another story making headlines in Marinelands is Marines make changes to expedite Valor Awards process. It's actually a DOD thing that is coming down from Secretary Mattis. The change is posted in MAR Admin 099/18, merely reflect guidance submitted by the Secretary of Defense in 2017. Quote, the demands and sacrifices of military service on soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines are under our charges are significant. I direct that you generate a plan to modify your awards process to ensure that Valor Award recommendations are acted upon within 10 days of receipt by each echelon of command. So, doesn't say how much time you have to prepare it initially, because that takes time. The dust has to settle. Statements got to be collected and all that. Once that is submitted from the company to the battalion has 10 days to act on it. From the battalion to the regiment, they have 10 days. So, and so it goes. If you don't act within those 10 days, you have to submit. You have to submit a detailed explanation. So that in the news. Top stories in the early bird. Africa, that investigation is getting ready to be released, and so it's beginning to bubble up. So terrorism charges or challenges in Africa, that story is kind of getting crushed by a lot of other stories around the world. But one of the things that you're going to see is Africa right now is an economy of force mission. Nobody wants to say that. But if you watch it, it's kind of interesting. And I think an eye opener for a lot of people, if you're watching the series Chain of Command on National Geographic, you know, what they attempt to do is show the link between things that happen in Afghanistan, things that happen in the Middle East, right? Events in Africa, migration from Africa to South America across the Atlantic Ocean, and then the attempt to move north into the United States. So it's a pretty eye-opener. In the show that was on Monday, they showed a guy who was detained in Panama from Nigeria, talking about just the horrible conditions of in Nigeria, that his family had been killed by a roadside bomb, and that he had to do something, and he's trying to get to the United States to work for a better life. And so you see this global event going on, and what's causing that migration from Africa is the introduction of Islamic fundamentalist fighters and organizations you know, in greater numbers on the African continent. Now, the problem there is we're stretched in Afghanistan. We're stretched in Syria, Iraq, the Pacific, Africa too. Right. Do you remember years ago when we said, yeah, we reject the notion in order to save money that we're going to have to, we would have to fight two wars simultaneously. I'm not sure that was such a good idea. Because the rubber band is stretched pretty tight. So that's the number one story. The bottom line is that the wings of commanders in Africa are going to get clipped. And you have, there's another article that I think it's in Task and Purpose this morning that talks about advice from two essentially special forces advisors reminding them, you're not soft, you're not special operators, okay? You're advise and train. You're not door kicker, direct action guys. Make sure you know that. Okay? Make sure you remember that. And make sure you set up your missions like that. Because there's people out there that will see that and they will kill you. So remember what you are and remember where you are and remember how little we have out here and then apply yourself accordingly. So it's pretty interesting. And again, you can't be strong in all places. And so, you know, for the United States, if you look at the assets that are there, there's greater demand for those assets in Yemen. There's greater demands for those assets in Syria right now and in Afghanistan. So what do you do? Say, sorry, we got to send them to Africa because those guys aren't smart enough to stay out of the way. So anyway, number two story is a story about the Philippines formally canceling a helicopter contract with Canada. Three-story, Syrian downing of an F-16I begs the question, why didn't Israel deploy the F-35? It's in Defense News. In early December, the Air Force, Israeli Air Force, declared initial operational capability of 9 F-35s now in its possession. And from the aerial activity reported by residents near its home base of Nevatim, southern Israel, the aircrafts are accruing significant flight time. Yet none of the operational F-35s were part of the 8 aircraft force package that was tasked with destroying Iranian command center in Syria. The command center was reportedly operated, anyway, the drone that penetrated Israeli airspace. The article makes the case that perhaps his costly stealth fighters are too precious to use, or perhaps the Israeli Air Force is not sufficiently confident in the aircraft or its pilots' proficiency in operating the fifth-generation fighter. So anyway, interesting story there. And then this story about the Cyber Command, which is something that I've been musing about. Like, what exactly do they do? Leaders of the Department of Defense and Cyber Command are in the throes of major undertaking the evaluation of the command to a full unified combatant command and no longer subordinate to U.S. Strategic Command. But how close is Cyber Command to that goal? Pentagon spokesman, that's just it being a command. You talk about staffing it, congressional hearings. And larger DOD implications. Again, this is just standing at the administrative part of standing it up to be full up round and not part of something else. I'm just curious about, I think if you ask most people what is one of the most pressing needs in the nation, it is cybersecurity. So this is not a small deal. It's a big deal. Again, what are they going to do? How are they going to do it? Headline, fallout from Niger ambush could scale back Africa mission, strip commanders of autonomy, in Military Times this morning. As that probe gets ready to be released, two military officials with knowledge of the findings spoke to Military Times on a condition of anonymity. The military investigations focused on the events surrounding the ambush in Tongo, Niger on October 4th. We all know that story, right? The region is flush with activity by militants associated with the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, who often engage local authorities and even French forces operating in Mali. The report also highlights the bad decision-making process that may have led to the deadly ambush, according to those sources. The investigations found that there was a communications breakdown that resulted from the unchecked equipment the soldiers took on the mission. When the unit came under attack, they were unable to establish direct communication with the French aircraft providing air cover. Instead, the soldiers had to relay coordinates to other forces in Nimini, Niger's capital, roughly 120 miles away. The report is expected to advise that U.S. troops should continue accompanying partner forces in the region on armed patrol, but the mission should be more thoroughly vetted. And then it has, then it's like, now we're going to link those with U.S. Africa Command, which is in Stuttgart, Germany, of all places. As it stands now, commanders in the field can carry out ground operations at their own discretion. Further restrictions are contemplated, though. In April of last year, Marine General Thomas Waldhauser, who used to be one man, head of Africa Command, told Congress that more flexibility and timeliness in decision-making was necessary to combat al-Shabaab and al-Qaeda-linked extremist groups in Somalia. The president granted the request in the same month, allowing the military more authority to conduct airstrikes in al-Qaeda on al-Qaeda-linked militants. So that was part of an effort to loosen the grip of the decision-making in our theaters of conflict. Now, is that too much discretion? And is that one of the contributing things? Was that discretion something that contributed to the death of four soldiers? So, again, get ready for that investigation to come out and the discussion of how much discretion in that command. You know what? And I will tell you what. It's, you know, if you're familiar with the what's that Marcus Luttrell movie, Lone Survivor. They couldn't talk. Those guys couldn't talk either. They got told to take other radios, and they said no. And they went up on that ridgeline, and they got killed. Three of the four got killed. And so, you know, those things just—they make your stomach curl up in a ball. You know, comm checks. You know, being able to talk when you need to be able to talk. That's important stuff. That's important stuff. And it's not just do you have the frequencies? Have you got on there? That's your lifeline. Have you got on there? Have you talked to them? Also, another interesting story about, we talked about yesterday, about the dust up, not the dust up, but somewhere between 200 and 300 pro-Assad mercenaries and pro-Assad forces were killed or wounded in a clash with United States special operators and United States-sponsored Kurds in eastern Syria. Okay. And then after that, for the second time in less than a week, those forces, those our forces, were attacked by a Soviet T-72 main battle tank. and they called in a reaper, and they smoked it. So, and the Russians, they're like, hey, we don't know. We're not sure how they got that tank. Come on. Those tanks are everywhere. And so, so interesting story. I'll tell you, interesting when you reading about the Middle East, pretty interesting to read some of the stuff that comes out of Israel and not the United States. As I said, interesting. Happy Ash Wednesday to all you Catholics out there. All you Christians that celebrate Ash Wednesday, happy Ash Wednesday to you. Don't forget to get your ashes. This morning at Fort Meade in Maryland, somebody in a black SUV with a weapon got shot. Attempted to cross barriers and run a gate or whatever, and that suspect is being held, and the vehicle's in custody. So they went out of their way to say, hey, we got this thing under control. We got this thing under control. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, General Anthony M. Zinni, I think it's M, he will rejoin us. You'll hear his little dissertation on the Marine Corps. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.